Welcome to the January webcast featuring Forward in Christ Magazine's monthly parenting column, Heart to Heart Parent Conversations. I'm Nicole Balza, staff editor of Heart to Heart and mom of three. Joining me today is Pastor Jim Aderman, a contributing author for Heart to Heart. Jim and his wife Sharon raised three daughters and are now enjoying their eight grandchildren. In the January issue of Forward in Christ, Pastor Aderman wrote on the topic of lying. And today he's going to share his insights into whether all lying is wrong. Welcome, Pastor Aderman.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for joining me today to talk about a topic that's familiar to most parents.
It is, yeah. I was thinking on the way here, a couple of weeks ago, my daughter and son-in-law and their family were over at my house, and my wife and I and daughter and son-in-law were sitting at the kitchen table as a kitchen and dining area. And their son, who's going to be two in March, was kind of in the next area in the living room where we couldn't see him. And suddenly, there's this bang, and he comes running into the kitchen, and he stands in the middle of the kitchen, hands folded in front of him, and as an angelic look on his face as possible, trying to say to us, it wasn't me. I haven't done anything wrong. Lying and playing fast and loose with the truth is something that is really inborn in us. It's just a facet of the sinfulness that we have.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, it really is just something that's so pervasive in each of our lives. And so I know for me, this topic was kind of personal because it kind of came to me because my daughter asked me, "Mom, is all lying wrong?" And I have to say, it kind of gave me pause. The Christian in me said, like, well, of course all lying is wrong. But then I had to kind of admit, I knew that she had seen me lie before, you know, that we all kind of especially have those, you know, we lie in our regular life, but we also have those white lies that we tend to tell along the way. And so I really kind of struggled with what answer to give her because I didn't know exactly either how to get her to probably understand that we probably need to be more sensitive sometimes in how we answer, but we still want to answer truthfully. So,
yeah. You know, writing this article was a struggle for me as well because, mm-hmm. well, first of all, there's a lot of information and how do you get that into 300 words in the blog? But it was a struggle because it made me confront how I sometimes play fast and loose with the truth, mm-hmm. especially as a grandfather with my grandkids. And how I try to justify that. Well, you know,
exactly.
In this case, it's okay, you can do it. When, in fact, God calls us to a higher standard of morals than that.
Right. Well, speaking of God, then, can you give us some places in the Bible that kind of really do lay it out for us, so that especially, I mean, as we're looking at it and as we're trying to teach our children, where do we point them to kind of show them that obviously, you know, lying is wrong? Mm-hmm. God does not approve of it.
Yeah, there's passages throughout the Bible that where God says to us, "Look, I'm a God of truth, and you're my children. I want you to be children of the truth." But a passage that stands out for me when talking about lying is Colossians chapter 3, two verses actually, 9 okay. and 10, where Paul not only says don't lie, but he also gives us the reason why as Christians we don't lie. Here's what he says. Do not lie to each other. Okay, so there you have it. There's a principle. That's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Don't lie. But here's why. Since you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator, why don't we lie? Not because God is really going to be angry with us if we do lie and he's going to punish us for it, but because we're different people now. Jesus has made us different people. He's not only forgiven our sins and given us heaven, but he's made us new from the inside out.
Right.
You know, that he's put that new self in us. He's taken up residence in us. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence in us, and we don't have to live in those old sins anymore. We don't have to lie anymore. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is, well, once again, St. Paul, 2 Corinthians 5, where it says that everyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And I have to remind myself of that on any number of occasions. I don't have to live that way. I don't have to think those thoughts. I don't have to be tempted by those temptations anymore because I'm different. And Paul's saying the same thing here in Colossians. We are different. There's a new self in us. So our motivation for being truth tellers and truth livers is we're going to live forever. We've got Jesus as Savior. And it's that gospel motivation that just makes everything so different for us.
Sure, sure. Oh, that really is kind of changes the way you look at it and would be a fantastic thing to be able to share with our children.
Well, I think so because it can get, well, you know, you have the principle, you don't lie. but boy, after you get past that first level of lie or so, it can get pretty tricky. I mean, you know, you don't lie to avoid punishment for something you've done. You fessed up, and okay. You don't lie about God. You say what His Word says, and that's where you stand. You don't deceive other people and take advantage of them. But what about when you are in a group? Oh, maybe you're the only Republican in a group of Democrats, or the only Democrat in a group of Republicans, and you're thinking, oh man, I can't really tell these people what I'm thinking politically. I would not fit in here. And so you just kind of want to blend in, and maybe you shake your head along with everybody else. but that's not being truthful about who you are anyway. And of course, it gets even worse when we're called upon to stand up for some Christian values. And we're thinking, oh, I'm not sure whether I want to say that or not. We can find ourselves telling lies to protect people. At least we think we're going to protect them. Even something, you know, like parents sometimes say to the kids, these outrageous lies. You know, if you don't turn off that television set and quit watching those cartoons this instant, your eyes are going to fall out. You know, something like that. And of course, it's outrageous, but it gets the kids to turn off the television set. Well, maybe sometimes, but it's still not the truth. You were talking before about your daughter and. Boy, our kids can be so good in picking up on when we are not telling them the truth. I think sometimes we shoot ourselves in the foot when it comes to the fairy tale lies that we tell our kids, and as though it's the truth about Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or Tooth Fairy. And if they're at all thinking, if they have reached any number of years at all, they're saying, okay, how can this be? And yet mom or dad are swearing, oh yes, you know, Santa Claus really does exist. And then it gets them to think, how about the other things that mom and dad are saying? Even what about things like Jesus? That's a pretty fantastic story too. Mm-hmm. And can I believe that? So we can very quickly as parents, grandparents, get ourselves into a position where our kids are going to wonder, can I really trust mom or dad? Can I trust grandpa when he tells me something? Even though he's got a very serious look on his face.
Well, do you have any suggestions maybe for how we can, you know, not lie and be truthful, but at the same time maybe be tactful or, are there ways to avoid those little white lies that we so often seem to tell? Do you have suggestions for that at all?
Well, I think I've got four things that I'd like you to think about.
Fantastic.
Sure. The first one has to do with keeping our focus in the right place. Okay. That Colossians passage about who are we now because of Jesus. We're different people. We are those new creations. We've got Jesus living inside of us. We don't have to live those old ways anymore. And sometimes we just have to stop, take kind of a gospel breath and say, you know what, I don't have to fudge on the truth here. I don't have to tell a lie that's going to get me out of a difficult situation. I can and I want to be more truthful. But it starts with that focus on Jesus, starts with a focus on God's grace and what that's done for us, what He's given to us. But then it's also a matter of remaining sensitive to the times that we are not as truthful as we should. Mm-hmm. God has given us that conscience, and he can be a really annoying pain in the neck. And yet, It's a voice that God has given to us for our benefit. Mm-hmm. And we need to listen to him, even though we just want to shut him off, so that we stay sensitive. We stay sensitive as, once again, we keep our eyes on God's word and what he tells us, not just about, you know, do this, do this, do this, but this is what I've done for you. This is what I've given you in my son. And it's all free. That's how much I love you. So constantly that we're focused on the gospel motivation, and when we hear our conscience say, don't do that, once again, we can take that gospel breath and say, Jesus, because of what you've done for me, I want to live for you, and so I'm going to step away from this sin. And then that would get me to what I would call work on tactful honesty. You know, God calls us to be honest. He calls us to be truthful, but at the same time, to be tactful about it. Speak the truth, the Bible says, but speak the truth in love. A couple of years ago, there was a lady that I got to know who got very disgusted with her family at a family reunion about what was going on. And so she wrote them all an email, and she really told them how upset, angry she was with whatever it was. And at the end, she said, now this is the truth, and so I've got every right to say it to you. No, there was no love there, but it was at least as she saw it, it was the truth. And I think sometimes when it comes to truth-telling, we can fall into that pit as well. That yes, you use the truth, but you use it, well, the Bible says to build others up, not to tear them down, but to help them, so that we temper the truth with tact as often as possible. And when we don't, and that's going to be my fourth point, we learn to apologize. You know, sometimes we're going to have to say to our kids, I'm sorry, but I really wasn't truthful with you when I told you your eyes were going to fall out if you didn't turn the TV off.
Right.
And I shouldn't have done that. I know Jesus has forgiven me for that. And, well, I'd like you to forgive me too. But I do want you to know that when I say something to you, it is going to be the truth, that you don't have to wonder whether I've been lying to you or not.
Wow. Well, I think that's fantastic. It seems like a really great summary. I think really helpful for our parents. So thank you so much for spending time with us today,
Pastor
Raymond.
You're most welcome. I'm glad to do it.
I appreciate it. For more articles on Christian parenting, visit Heart to Heart's website at forwardinchrist.net. While there, you can read articles on a variety of topics, chime in with your thoughts or questions. You can learn more about Heart to Heart's authors, view other webcasts on parenting topics, or subscribe to Forward in Christ magazine. Thank you for joining us, and may God bless your parenting journey.
Okay, we're clear.